The rabbis themselves tell us that Jerusalem is an eternal reminder of Judah and Benjamin joined, of brotherly bonds reforged, of Jewish unity. It is, if you will, the original city of brotherly love. Welcome to Jerusalem 365, Episode 6, Joshua, Judges, and Jerusalem. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. It is a moment made immortal by the musical Hamilton, once called the Great Compromise of 1790. It is now known through the lyrics of the Broadway production's most famous song, which I will quote, but will not attempt to sing or rap. Two Virginians and an immigrant walk into a room, diametrically opposed, foes. They emerge with a compromise, having opened doors that were previously closed, bros. The immigrant emerges with unprecedented financial power, a system he can shape however he wants. The Virginians emerge with the nation's capital. And here's the pièce de résistance. No one else was in the room where it happened. Hamilton, in other words, received Madison and Jefferson's guarantee that they would allow his plan of national assumption of state debt to go forward. And the Southerners achieved the moving of the capital from Philadelphia in the Northeast to a more central location. There are those who compare the ultimate choice of Jerusalem as the capital of biblical Israel to the selection of Washington, D.C., as the establishment of that sacred city also involved the moving of a capital to a more central location. This is perhaps paralleled in the quip by Menachem Begin that, like Washington, D.C., Israel has Jerusalem, D.C., David's city. And while Jerusalem is indeed David's city, the ultimate choice of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel by David can actually be seen as a mirror image of that which transpired in the selection of Washington. The District of Columbia was born in a deal between political rivals who hated each other and who would continue to hate each other. The deal moved the capital from a city named Philadelphia, a word that in Greek, philos Adelphi, means brotherly love. And needless to say, Washington has been riven by discord and disharmony ever since. In contrast, David's choice of Jerusalem stemmed from a desire to rise above centuries of conflict and to create a city that would embody brotherly love. In order to understand this, we must study the few moments that Jerusalem appears in the Bible before David's conquest. We have seen thus far Jerusalem appearing in the Bible as the monotheistic city of Shalem and in the Amarna letters as the Canaanite city of Jerusalem in a Middle East dominated by the Egyptian empire of Akhenaten. While the ruler of Jerusalem at the time and the pharaoh of Egypt are quite different, they seem to share an abhorrence of the Apiru, the nomadic, unsettled Semites that roam the area. But it is ultimately one group of Semitic nomads who achieves liberation from the yoke of Egypt, and nomads no more settle the land of Israel. Let us briefly review their story. Joseph arrives in Egypt due to the hatred of his brothers, who, at the suggestion of his sibling Judah, sell him into slavery. Joseph emerges from his trials and tribulations in Egypt to become vizier of all the land. When famine brings the sons of Jacob to Joseph's court, they do not recognize the brother they wronged. Joseph forces them to bring back to Egypt Jacob's youngest child, Joseph's one full brother, Benjamin. When Joseph states his intention to keep Benjamin as a slave, Judah steps forward and states that he is the surety, the guarantor of Benjamin's safety, saying to the vizier of Egypt, "Let thy servant be taken as a slave instead." This extraordinary act of repentance shocks Joseph, overcomes him, leading him to reveal his identity, to forgive his brothers, and to unite the tribes with the Joseph that they had betrayed. A new pharaoh ultimately comes who knew not Joseph. Israel is enslaved and then liberated by God, and the people arrive in the Holy Land 40 years later. Now led by Joshua, Israel conquers much of the land, but not all of it. And one of the unconquered areas is Jerusalem, still held, we are told, by one of the peoples of Canaan, the Jebusites. But Joshua nevertheless apportions every section of the sacred soil of the land, creating 12 tribal territories. And when it comes to Jerusalem, There appears to be a contradiction in the text as to the precise tribal apportionment. The primary responsibility for further conquest of each area lies with the tribe linked to that territory, and thus the describing of the assault on Jerusalem in the book of Joshua would seem to indicate that the city had been intended for Judah. Thus we are informed in chapter 14, verse 63. As for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem unto this day. Thus Jerusalem would seem to be part of Judah's tribal territory. Yet three chapters later, the book of Joshua lists the cities that have been set aside for the tribe of Benjamin. Here are select verses from chapter 18, beginning with verse 11. And the lot of the tribe of the children of Benjamin came up according to their families, and the coast of their lot came forth between the children of Judah and the children of Joseph. Now the cities of the tribe of the children of Benjamin according to their families were Jericho, and Beth Hogla, and the valley of Kitzitz, and Rechem, and Irpil, and Tarala, and Tela, and Eleph, and Jebusi, which is Jerusalem. This is the inheritance of the children of Benjamin according to their family. It seems then that Jerusalem is understood to be apportioned to Benjamin rather than Judah. Indeed, the book of Judges informs us in the first chapter, immediately following Joshua's death, that, quote, the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabit in Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. Is Jerusalem part of Judah's portion or Benjamin's? Did the Jebusites dwell amongst Judah or Benjamin? The traditional Jewish answer is both. Indeed, the sages insist that even as much of Jerusalem was to be found in Judah's land, the summit of what would be known as the Temple Mount was in Benjamin's portion. What this means is that Jerusalem is the only shared city in the land of Israel, with much of its territory being apportioned to Judah, but its most sacred soil, where the Akedah altar of Abraham and Isaac was once built, where the sacrifices of the people would later be offered, belonging to Benjamin. All that we have seen thus far allows us further insight into why David might have chosen Jerusalem as his capital. For we know well that brotherly unity was achieved by Judah's willingness to sacrifice for his brother Benjamin. And we can now also intuit that this moment in early Israelite history is replayed for eternity on one mountain and in one city. Jerusalem is made up of a unique symbiosis of geography and theology, in which a spatial recreation of Judah's repentance is replayed for all eternity. The joining of Judah and Benjamin in Jerusalem is a reminder of Judah's sense of responsibility for his brother. This is recognized by the rabbis in a striking statement who linked the sense of responsibility of Judah's descendant David for the safety of his people when threatened by Goliath under the reign of King Saul to Judah's sacrifice for Benjamin. Here is the remarkable midrashic description of God's promise to David. The Holy One said to him, to David, by your life, just as you were ready to give your life for Saul, who was from the tribe of Benjamin, just as Judah your ancestor did, as it is written, let your servant be imprisoned instead of the boy, so I shall place the temple in the portion of Judah and Benjamin. Thus, the rabbis themselves tell us that Jerusalem is an eternal reminder of Judah and Benjamin joined, of brotherly bonds reforged, of Jewish unity. It is, if you will, the original city of brotherly love. And yet, with Joshua's death, Jerusalem remains unconquered, and we are told of the centuries preceding David by the book of Judges. The tribes become fragmented, and even the most successful leaders do not unite Israel. Gideon rallies Manasseh in battles on the eastern side of the Jordan. Deborah is able to bring together some of the northern tribes, but even in victory, she bitterly complains about those tribes who did not rally to her. And the book of Judges concludes with perhaps the most terrible story in the Bible, known as Pelegish Begivah, the concubine of Givah. This story is also noteworthy for another one of the few mentions of Jerusalem before the age of David. The story begins with a man journeying with his concubine, seeking a place for the night. And the Bible goes out of its way to reference a city that was still held by the Jebusites. Judges chapter 19, verse 10. He rose up and departed and came over against Jebus, which is Jerusalem. And there were with him two donkeys saddled. His concubine was also with him. And when they were by Jebus, the day was far spent, and the servant said unto his master, come, I pray thee, and let us turn into the city of the Jebusites and lodge in it. And his master said unto him, we will not turn aside hither unto the city of a stranger that is not of the children of Israel. We will pass over to Givah. Thus, instead of spending the night in non-Israelite Jerusalem, the man journeys to Givah in the territory of Benjamin. There, his concubine is horrifically violated by a mob, and she dies as a result. As news of this moral crime becomes known throughout the land, Benjamin refuses to hand over the perpetrators, and the other tribes wage war. The war against Benjamin is led by Judah, with terrible casualties on all sides. Rather than punishing only the perpetrators, Judah's army destroys almost the entire tribe of Benjamin. Of course, the moral outrage against what has occurred is just and punishment is called for. But the episode reveals how profoundly Israel's unity has been undone. And we face, as we mentioned in Bible 365, a profound reversal of Genesis. In the original story of Joseph and his brothers, breaches are healed when Jacob's son Judah shows his willingness to give his life for his brother Benjamin. And now it is Judah's descendants that lead an assault, decimating the descendants of Benjamin. Thus, the ending of the book of Judges gives us the ultimate reversal of the original tale of Judah and Benjamin. And, appearing as a seemingly minor detail in this story, is the city of Jerusalem and the man's refusal to lodge there. A detail that may not be small at all. Think about it. Had this man only lodged in Jerusalem that evening, the entire civil war would not have happened. The man chose not to lodge in Jerusalem because he wished to spend the evening with his fellow Israelites. But in the end, what followed was the ultimate undoing of unity amongst Israelites. The appearance of Jerusalem thus gives us a symbolism far beyond its brief appearance in the text. Israel had not yet merited Jerusalem. Jerusalem was still held by the Jebusites, because Israel had not achieved the unity that was symbolized by Jerusalem. And it would take a king named David, whose identity as an Israelite was more important to him than his tribal identity, who thereby reflected the greatness of his ancestor Judah, who would select Jerusalem because its very location joins Judah and Benjamin and is therefore the ultimate embodiment of a bond between brothers. Meanwhile, the city in Pennsylvania, whose name was meant to reflect brotherly love, lost its role as America's capital. But there were still Americans who compared Philadelphia to the capital of Israel. Thus, Abraham Lincoln in 1861, about to define his career by teaching Americans that their own identity as countrymen mattered more than their fealty to their particular states, said of Philadelphia's Independence Hall the following: "I have never asked anything that does not breathe from those walls. All my political warfare has been in favor of the teachings coming forth from that sacred hall. May my right hand forget its cunning, and my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, if ever I prove false to those teachings." So Lincoln said in Philadelphia. Of course, as I often say, if I forget thee, O Philadelphia, it does not have the same ring to it. But if I can repurpose the title of the famous Cary Grant, Katharine Hepburn movie, I would argue that Jerusalem is the original Philadelphia story. It is meant to be the original city of brotherly love, founded by David as an embodiment of the unified people of Israel and becoming a city that Jews would never, ever forget. This is Meir Soloveitchik. Look forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.